All right, hello and welcome to the, I forget what number of B-side this is. This is a B-side anyways. It's episode number 52 of the At U2 podcast. We are doing a quick B-side to sort of recap and discuss the Facebook Live event that U2 just did, covering the Joshua Tree. We'll have a link in the show notes to where you can find that if you happen to miss it. But facebook.com/U2, I think, is where it'll be posted. And on the call with me are Tasula. Hello, Sula.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Hello, folks.
And new At U2 staff member and new to the podcast is Sienna from Cambridge in England. So welcome to the show and welcome to the site.
Hey, thank you.
It's good to have you on the podcast. And as a new member, there's a whole bunch of new voices, hopefully, but definitely new staff folks that joined At U2 recently that you'll be meeting as you read and listen, hopefully, to the podcast. Read the site, listen to the podcast, obviously. So, I don't know where we want to start exactly, but U2 did 11 questions ish on the live thing, and they had some, as Aaron was saying before, and they had some technical difficulties, about 7, 8, 10 minutes of like technicians just talking, all that kind of stuff, just to get the live stream set up. I don't know if that's it seems like streaming live, as we know here with the podcast, can often be wrought with technical issues and difficulties. And as we all try and pretend we're a big TV studio, in reality, we're just in a basement. But I was kind of surprised that U2's technicians wouldn't have that all figured out, whoever they're doing that with. Any thoughts from the...
Yeah, it was a little strange because I thought the audio levels were a little low on the main camera. And then obviously when the cameras switched across, there was different angles, the voice levels went up. And what didn't work was the video questions. Obviously the band technicians hadn't worked that out because they were talking over each other. That was quite weird.
Yeah.
But good to see the guys anyhow. That's the important thing. It looked like it was the main room at Electric Lady. So that was good.
Yeah, we've sort of seen reports that, well, we have from our own staffer meeting Bono in New York. So obviously the whole band is there now. Sula, how about you? What was your sort of overall impressions of the live?
Yeah, I was a little frustrated they didn't kind of troubleshoot that, because there was a lot of us in the actual Facebook platform that were commenting, you know, it's too quiet, guys, or we can't hear Larry, we can't hear, you know, and so I'm surprised that they didn't just pause and start over, or pause and fix what was broken, because it never really got resolved.
It seems like they didn't even bother with like a stand-in and just do a test earlier of some sort, because a lot of that would have been fixed by just having, you know, stand-ins to check out mics and recording, and somebody check out the live stream and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, a band would know how to do a sound check, you'd think.
Yeah, exactly. It was obvious that, as per usual anyways, it seems Larry was a little bit of a reluctant member of the discussion, to say the least. The first question was, what song are you most looking forward to performing? He just said all of them.
And then said exit.
Yeah.
Then he said exit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was because the second question was from a drummer asking exit. He's looking forward to playing exit. And then he said, well, that's my favorite song, or the song I'm most looking forward to.
The questions overall were very good, actually, because I thought it would be a little bit frivolous, but it wasn't. There were some fairly good questions there. I particularly enjoyed the one about Ticketmaster and the secondary ticketing.
I was glad they addressed that. I thought that was good that they answered it as best as they could. I mean,
yeah.
Very democratic.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it was. They couldn't say this is what we're going to do now or anything like that, obviously, but just in terms of at least acknowledging the issue and making people that know that they're aware of it as a band, not just at, you know, record label or ticketing level. So, the question about every album being inspired by a pair of shoes was... It was a funny one, but obviously not on the more serious side. But and it gave Edge the opportunity to throw in a nice dad joke. So there was the question of Adam being a good host when he was when they were recording the Joshua Tree, which, you know, he responded with it wasn't exactly his house at the time, but then he did buy it. And you posted a link to the article on atut.com about sort of the secret history of the Joshua Tree that fans might have a little more detail on or find out a bit more about.
Yeah, that was an interview that Danny Lanois did back in 2007, I think, for the other anniversary. So, but it is interesting. It goes into a deep history of the house and talking about how they discovered that 200 years to the year was the first time that people inhabited the house. So I thought that was kind of a cool little detail.
And that was also where we first heard Larry's horn that he was apparently given.
I'm I'm surprised you don't have one for us today, Chris.
I was tempted to have it.
But what was that horn? There was a horn going through it, and I wasn't too sure if it was a truck house. So it was a timekeeper. I thought it was because that part of New York there is pretty noisy, the traffic in any case. I just thought it was some fella pressing the horn in his truck or something, thinking, what's he doing?
Larry was that fella.
Yeah,
I think that's the only thing I would bargain. That's the condition he had to come on the show, but I'm not.
And of course, they had some celebrity guest questions, real celebrities, masquerading as Chris Springsteen from Jersey, asking what song are you mad you didn't put on the album, which I think was actually a good question, and it was kind of interesting to hear. I'm sure Tasulo got a little buzz or whatever for Edge saying Heartland.
I totally did. Yeah. I'm impressed that you remember that's the song I would have swapped out for Trip Through Your Wires. Because yes, that I've always thought Heartland belonged on the Joshua Tree. So that made my heart warm when he said that.
Yeah, that was great when he said that. I agree with Tasula. That was a missing song, wasn't it? For sure.
Yes, fits in perfectly, and maybe they'll be inspired to play it on the tour.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. That would be great.
How about you, Sienna? Is there a song that you're a B-side or whatever that you're a fan of that you didn't get to participate in the album by album discussions we had? But just was there a B-side from Joshua Tree era that you're fond of?
Favorite? I think it'd have to be Sweetest Thing, to be honest. I'm not so keen on the B-sides. I like the classic album.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trip Through Your Wires. I get what to see the saying about Heartland, but I think I'd have to save Trip Through Your Wires.
Nice.
One thing to say about the B-sides, though, Sienna, is of all the albums they've done, it is the best part of the B-sides. If you think of all the other albums they've done, this is definitely the album where the B-sides are the strongest, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
definitely. And of course, they related this story. A fan had asked about the story of Brian Eno coming close to trashing Where the Streets Have No Name and called out Pat McCarthy for saving the recording and allowing us to hear that, and as well as allowing Adam to throw. They had a fun little interplay about Brian Eno being a great man with us with a sausage.
I was impressed that Adam dressed in proper clothes and wasn't in his bathrobe. That was quite a relief.
I was noticing that. I did notice that too. That I was just noticing Adam and definitely Larry. I mean, Larry's his own little animal. But Adam, if you think of Adam there compared to when he was on the Cleveland Skype call that he did, he's way more relaxed when he's by himself than he is with the other guy. Like it seems like he's Bono Edge kind of put him in like a I have to speak official mode. Whereas the Skype call, he was kind of just a man sipping tea at his house or whatever.
Edge was very much in charge as well, wasn't he?
He
knew what he was doing, didn't he? He was very, very professional about it.
Yeah. And handing Larry the horn was key.
I need to watch that on a bigger screen. I was watching on my phone, so I didn't see that.
But yeah.
Yeah, put it on full screen on your computer and you'll see Larry's smirks and fun stuff along with it. And when Bono almost filibustered, there was one moment or there was one answer. I think it might have been the one where he was talking about the songs, how he'd given Ali the Sweetest Thing or whatever. And they were all kind of, you could tell they were like, Bono, then enough, enough, stop talking.
Yeah.
So. Makes you wonder if they heard Andy Green's filibuster on the podcast a few weeks back.
Right. Yeah, there was Chris Martin asking a question. Chris, I forget where he was. I think he said from England, a big fan or whatever. Three part question about some musical technology terminology, and then related to treadmills.
The pun about with or without you.
Oh yeah, and then Hugh, who was
without Hugh.
Yeah. Which again, yeah. Some good fun with it, I guess. It was good that they had a bit of that fun. It was like the 15 minutes or 10 minutes of technicians talking at the beginning, which obviously wasn't part of the plan, kind of was a bit of an odd setup for it. But so once the band got warmed up and going, they were having a bit of fun.
I noted the other thing was that there was around 12 or 13,000 people on the live stream from what I could see on the ticker tape at the top. So I guess that's fairly decent, isn't it, this time of the day?
It was 304,000. I screenshot it. Yeah, it was 304,000.
Wow.
When you think about all the time zones that are taken into consideration and everything.
If that doesn't prove that I really was watching on a small screen, because I thought it said 12.
Well, you maybe earlier. Maybe you were looking at the number earlier when people were just joining, too.
It probably was, yeah.
It's about what we get for the podcast live stream, give or take 300,000.
Oh, easy. Easy.
All right. Well, we're going to keep these brief, like I said. And any sort of final thoughts I was glad they did this. I'm always kind of like, it feels like it's not that hard to do, guys. You could do this, you know, once a month if you really wanted to. And you don't have to just do it because you happen to also be shilling for a massive album release thing that's happening today as well. Pre-order that's happening today. You know, take 10 minutes out of your busy day or whatever to talk to the fans. And what were your guys' thoughts in closing?
I think personally, yeah, I'd agree with that, Chris. Chris, there's no two ways about it. They need to do more of that type of stuff, probably a little bit more professionally, but they do need to do it a little bit more. And just a few more updates about what's happening with the album, because it's nearly a year now since Adam put out the tweet or whatever it was on Facebook, I think, where, you know, the birth of the album recording. That seemed quite a while back now.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we get a teaser today that they were going to reveal something in April? I think we did.
Well, I think that might be the Red Hill Mine in Town.
It may be.
Re-recording.
Oh, yeah. It may be. But we never know. You never know.
And it's Record Store Day as well in April, so perhaps it's going to be released.
That would be nice. I wish they'd make a nice LP release out of it. But to answer Chris's initial question, I think they should do this on each channel. So I think there should be like a Twitter Q&A that's just, you know, text or whatever, where people send in and then they respond on Twitter and then just tag it, you know, the way that they do it when they're just posting stuff. And then something maybe they could get creative on Instagram and do something, answer in pictures or answer in drawings. Bono loves to draw like John Lennon, you know, do something on each channel, because each channel has their own audience. As much as they'd like to think that every fan follows them on every channel, that's really not the case.
Yeah. How about you, Sienna?
Edge held the show together, really, didn't he? I think he was leading it all. It's good to see them back on form again. They need, as they've said, need to do it more often. Needs to be more of it.
And we'll quickly go around, just because the Joshua Tree Anniversary Edition was released today in various forms, LPs, CDs, etc. Again, going Aaron, Tasula, and Sienna, did you pre-order? And if so, what did you do? Aaron, go ahead.
Oh, I'll be getting it. There's no two ways about it. Every version you can possibly imagine. Oh, yeah. It's not even worth asking me, is it? I'm bound to do that. In fact, after this podcast is finished, I'm up in the attic to extend it further.
Right. That's how about you?
Yes, I ordered the bag deluxe set with the vinyls, and then I also ordered the smaller CD set, the two CD set, so I could get the white CD.
Nice. And Sienna, how about you?
I haven't ordered yet, but I'd love to order the bag. Yeah.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, we do get the digital downloads with the vinyls. So that's why I didn't feel the need to get the 4 CD.
So. Yeah, I was a little worried about that, but it is buried in the text somewhere, isn't it? On youtube.com, I think. Yeah.
Just like you can't use your coupon is also buried in the text.
Oh, well. I think they did that before, didn't they? With the
Which was
baby
painful.
One, you couldn't use the coupon.
Yeah,
you can basically get like a poster from, you know, 10 years ago with your coupon. So good luck with that.
And I'll fly the flag of the folks, the cheap folks or the folks who can't afford it, whichever category you fall into. I'm going to wait for the digital version that presumably will be released in June of some sort. I'm hoping the remixes and the B-sides form appear somehow other than having to spend $120 US on a box set.
I note how they didn't release this for free.
Yeah, exactly. This one did just appear in my mailbox.
Yeah,
not all of us that bought it can necessarily afford it. But that didn't stop us.
Exactly, and that's totally fair. That's what I should preface that by saying there's no. I completely get the idea of spending 120 or 160 or 300 or whatever it ends up being, the final tally. I'm sure Aaron will have to explain that credit card line item to the missus when she doesn't have the sweetest thing to help pay for it.
And to be fair, it's because it's this album. Like, if they did this with pop, I would not buy it. So
Aaron Stillwood.
I know. Oh. I'm not a completist. I'm not a completist yeah. the way he is. I just buy the stuff that I like.
Chris, what you do is you get it delivered to work. That's how you get around it all.
I work from home. That's the problem. So I guess I'll have to get an office first. Okay. Well, let's wrap this B-set up quickly if you can. Where on Twitter can folks forward to seeing your photos of the box set?
For me, it's at Ivanobe, I-V-A-N-O-B-E.
At Tasula, T-A-S-S-O-U-L-A.
And Sienna, I don't know if you know if you have Twitter or if you're on.
I don't use it much. I'm mainly on Instagram. It's at Sienna _ Jamez with a Z or a Z.
Perfect. All right. I'm iChris on Twitter, and you can follow, of course, Twitter. You can follow Twitter. You can follow the YouTube podcast at goodstuff.fm/ATU2. And at U2.com, of course, is the website. ATU2 is the Twitter handle. Facebook.com/, what is it, ATU2? I don't have it in front of me. Something like that. You'll find it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
At U2.com, maybe?
At U2.com, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So you'll figure it out. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Bye.